first time. Yeah. That's the joke we had. Yeah.
Good morning. It is the October 30th session of the Portland City Council. Mayor Hales is on city business in China, so I'm presiding as president of the council. Carla, please call the roll.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Hales?
Thank you. It is with great sadness that we pause today to honor two great leaders in our community, Dr. Nohad and Dersay Tulan, who were killed in a car crash earlier this week while traveling abroad. Dr. Nohad was a champion of the universal values that he believed all peoples and faiths share long before such ecumenism was popular. Generations of Oregon governors, PSU students and presidents, professors, Arab American and Muslim Americans benefited from his insight and wisdom. These are the words from Dr. Mwajdi Saeed, who founded the Muslim Educational Trust with Dr. and Mrs. Tulan, and we'll be hearing from him in a moment. We also remember Dersay, who was an architect, planner, and former Fulbright scholar who established an endowment to support the College of Urban and Public Affairs Library and continued to contribute to it in subsequent years. The library bears her name. This from an article in The Oregonian by Kimberly Wilson. And we have Dr. Larry Wallach, who is here to say a few words. And I also have the honor of reading a message from their children, Mariam and Omar Tulan, who say, "We are extremely grateful for the love and respect that the city has shown our parents. In the 41 years living in Portland, they were both committed to seeing the city grow and fulfill. They were both committed to seeing the city grow and fulfill its promise. We thank you for your tribute to our father and mother, who will be greatly missed and mourned by family, friends, and colleagues." Dr. Wallach.
Thank you very much. My name is Larry Wallach, and I was Dean of the College of Urban and Public Affairs from 2004 until 2013. I'm here today with my colleague, Dr. Carlos Crespo, who is now is the interim dean as they search for a new dean. I followed Nohad Tulan, who was the founding dean and the only dean until I became dean. We think he might have been dean for 50 or 60 years, but more realistically, we think it was actually 30 years, but he just seemed like he was there forever. Nohad and Dersay were great friends and wonderful colleagues of mine, and we're just heartbroken at the college on this terrible news that we've heard. Just want to say a few things today. There's 1,000 stories about Nohad, about Dersay, and about Nohad and Dersay together. And every story about them has a message about who they are and about the person who tells it. The story, no matter what the topic, no matter how funny or how serious, at its core, these stories reflect the humanity, the compassion, the integrity, and the sense of justice that marked how Nohad and Dersay live their lives. And for the teller, whether the teller is a friend or somebody not so close or somebody who has a grievance, doesn't matter. The friend tells us that when they tell this story, they do it out of great respect, great admiration, and in fact, great affection for both Nohad and Dersay. Nohad, in particular, was a visionary. I mean, a real visionary. When we think about Portland and the way that Portland is, Nohad changed the landscape of this city, not only with his vision, but with his life work. When we think about the urban growth boundary, the wonderful transportation that connects us, the link between OHSU and PSU and how that is all coming together in one grand district, this was all a vision that Nohad had before anybody could actually see what it actually might look like. With Dersay, they changed the physical and cultural landscape of this community. Anybody who comes to Portland, whether you live here, whether you work here, whether you're just visiting, everybody who comes to this city is a beneficiary of the vision that Nohad had. Everybody who comes here reaps the benefit, the dividends of the life work, the sweat that Nohad put into making that vision real. And just the final thing I want to say is that I mentioned the cultural landscape. the thing that I value the most about Nohad was that he was a champion of social justice. He was, as Commissioner Fritz said, about multiculturalism and connectivity long before that was popular, long before that was a term. Nohad reached out from the core of the Muslim community to every other community in this region, and he did it in a way that was gracious, that was all-inclusive, and always with a vision that we can be better than we are. And ultimately, the legacy that they leave us is that there is a great responsibility to make Portland not only a great place for a lot of people, but a great place for all the people. And that is a burden and a responsibility that drove Nohad and drove DIRSA. And they did a pretty doggone good job at bringing us to a pretty decent level on that, but we still have a long way to go. And I just really want to thank the City Council for honoring them today and for giving us the motivation to carry on that legacy and to do what we can to realize that potential. Thank you very much.
My name is Wajdi Saeed. I'm the president of the Muslim Educational Trust. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and thank you, Commissioner Fish, and thank you, commissioners. Today is my birthday. I met Dr. Tolan about 27 years ago, a young man coming from Yemen as an international student, coming from a business family. And for me and for all of us, Dr. Tolan is the brother and the father figure. And so do DIRSA. She is the sister and the great auntie. Both embraced every single person, irrespective of their religiosities or their ethnic background. When the idea of the Muslim Educational Trust that we needed a better ambassadors of Islam came to a group of us, we went and we asked our elderly, like anybody else in the community. And he said it is very important that when we define Islam, we have to define it in its pure context. We are over 32 ethnic groups that adhere to Islam as American Muslims in the city of Portland. And he said it is very important that to reflect and embody the values of Muhammad, the inclusiveness of Muhammad. We are seeing a lot of Arab minority that adhere to Christianity and Judaism. And they have survived and lived and coexist with fellow Muslims for 1,400 years. This is Dr. Tolan. He was speaking about ecumenism when it became very popular after the tragedy of 9/11. He was speaking 25 years ago about it. He encouraged very much that we lead, you know, the Arab and Jewish Muslim dialogue, and people of the three great religions came together. And he debated, and he spoke his mind. We called him the tough, gentle giant. He was tough, but he was tough with compassion. He was gentle because he was kind. Every Friday at the Muslim Education Trust, he came and joined us in the Friday congregation prayers. He will talk to the Somalis, in our students, in our bodies. He will talk to the Iraqis. He will talk to the Bosnian, the Kosovars. He said, you are now in America. America, the beautiful from inside. Yes, you have been victimized by foreign policy of the United States and others, but America is so beautiful from inside, and you are the seeds of change, like so many others that have made it to here. He said, don't worry. Everybody in this life have been persecuted. The Native Americans, the Jewish with the Holocaust, and so many others. But the Japanese-American woman, but he said, you will make the difference. You will be an added value to this great nation. And this is Dr. Tolan. DIRSA has been always supportive. She's a very devout Catholic. She stood up with Dr. Tolan. They resemble the exemplary of a great people that loved one another and respected one another. It doesn't reflect in our faith, you know. God has said in the Quran that, O mankind, we have created you from male and female and made you into nations and tribes. For what purpose? Is to get to know each other. It doesn't matter what background. What it matters is values. When I see Commissioner Fish about a year ago talking around the urban plaza, he talked about Tehran in a very respectful way. Amanda, Commissioner Amanda Fritz, and so many others, Shaw Dozono, our great leader, esteemed leader here, and so many others. This is what Dr. Tolan and this is what Dersa means to us. May God bless their souls. May God rest them in peace. We are really honored to see such unanimous, and it's very rare to see unanimous agreement, you know, when it comes to politics. Irrespective of our political affiliation, Dr. Tolan have made a great difference. In his retirement party, you will see six living governors that stood up for him, innovation. He made something out of Portland State. He made something out of Portland when he put it in the map. You know, he was a devout spiritual man, but his commitment is beyond the city of Portland. He did the urban planning of Mecca, the most holy sacred space. In 1985, the Saudi government didn't listen to some of his ideas. But now they're implementing his ideas, you know. Thank you very much. Thank you for great leadership, and thank you very much for recognizing Dr. Tolan and Dersa Tolan.
Thank you, and I know my colleagues have comments. Commissioner Fish.
Well, first, thank you, honored guests, for joining us this morning. My heart has been broken since I heard the news on Monday of the passing of Nohat and Dersa. My wife, Patricia, and I had lunch with them recently, and he spent most of the time explaining how there could be peace in the Middle East and how Egypt could get through its period of turmoil. And then, as he always did when we gathered, he challenged Patty and me to be the best we could be. He was a friend, a mentor, and a visionary leader in this community. My heart is broken, and today I thank Commissioner Fritz for honoring Nohat and Dersa with this ceremony. And I thank her as the president of the council for ordering that the flags be at half-mast today. And I thank you for coming forward and telling us more of the story of this remarkable couple. Larry, you said that they leave a beautiful legacy. And the question that I think we can all ponder going forward is how best to honor that legacy. How do we honor a couple that for over 40 years have made such a profound difference in our community and who have been such conspicuous bridge builders? Emphasis on bridge. I think there may be a way to honor the first Arab-American couple in our community, but that's for another day. Today we honor their life and legacy, and we say may they rest in peace. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, I just want to express my condolences to the family, to the Portland State University family, and to our city of Portland for losing two great leaders. And I think as Larry said, you can't think of Portland State these days and the greatness it has achieved, particularly in the realm of urban planning, and not think of Dr. Tulan and Dersa. So they will certainly be missed. And my wishes are with their family.
Thank you, Commissioner Novick.
I was just trying to think of some of the things I remember Dr. Tulan saying once when we're meeting at a coffee shop at PSU, and I remember these things. I remember him saying that he didn't think that the city council will ever be far enough left for him. I remember him saying that we need to not be shy about our commitment to density, to be, you know, a sustainable city. And I remember him talking about how we haven't done enough in terms of city planning to prepare for, it's happening now, the graying of the population. And those are three things that I will remember as we strive to honor Dr. Tulan's legacy in every aspect of our work.
It must have been a short meeting because he, of course, could have gone on forever with some of those
things. I said those are three of the things.
I remember the Tulans for being kind to me in some of my darkest moments, and I know that others share that compassion and love for them. As Commissioner Fish mentioned, the city flag has been lowered to half staff today to honor our beloved friends, Nohat and Dursa. Please join me in a moment of silence to reflect on their lives and passing. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
We now turn to our regular agenda. Carla, please read item 1021.
Request of Jamie Burrows to address council regarding good jobs equal great community centers and Sun schools.
Good morning. Welcome. Please state your name for the record, and then you have 3 minutes.
My name is Jamie Burrows, and I'm a rec coordinator over at Mount Scott Community Center. I'm here to talk to you about the practice of low-wage, unbenefited, temporary labor that the city relies on heavily, the decrease in full-time employees, and a span of control. Within recreation, the city has thousands of part-time seasonal employees that are paid low wages, receive no benefits, and can work a maximum of 1,200 hours per year, which averages 26 hours per week. While this part-time labor model works for many of our lifeguards, party room attendants, sport teachers, etc., many of these employees are doing the same work as full-time, benefited employees do, which is considered bargaining unit work. The city is looking to increase these employees to 1,600 hours per year, which is 30 hours per week, while still maintaining the stance that these employees do not do our jobs. These employees deserve to be properly compensated for the hard work that they do, and we as full-time benefited employees deserve to maintain our jobs and not have them contracted out to temporary agencies. Parks continually expands its services. Over the last decade, we have opened new facilities, increased our hours, increased the number of programs that we offer, the number of participants we serve, our revenue goals, and our part-time seasonal labor. The only thing we haven't increased is the number of full-time employees who create, implement, and oversee these programs and services. Since 2009, we have decreased our workforce by at least 12 positions, three within this last year, while positions have been added elsewhere. This has led to heavier workloads, oftentimes with employees working 10 days in a row with no overtime, which is against our contract, and the need to delegate our work to part-time seasonals. Over the last 4 to 5 years, we've lost 10 rec leaders, and this is an issue because this is an entry-level position for parks. The loss has been an excuse for the city to increase the amount of hours that part-time seasonals work, which does not lead to good quality recreation services. I've spoken in the past about parks' span of control. If you look at the organizational chart, it is easy to see that span of control ratios are all over the board. Some units have a ratio of 1 to 3 direct reports. Some have a ratio of 1 to 16. On average, if you look at senior management and supervisors, they average a 1 to 6, so 6 direct reports per senior management or per rec supervisor. The last time I spoke to you about this, I suggested cutting non-management or non-represented management positions. Another way to fix this issue is to increase the represented full-time employees that are considered the direct reports. Commissioners, I have seen policies change and even created because some of your constituents were unhappy with some of the various ways the city is run. I'm here today to let you know that we, as your employees and residents of Portland, are unhappy with the way contract negotiations have been going, the way we have been treated at the table, and we would like to see a change beginning now. Thank you.
Ms. Burrows, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Burrows, thank you very much for your testimony. As the new commissioner in charge of parks, I share some of your concerns and will be working on those and indeed presenting a proposed package in the budget to my colleagues to increase budgeted positions in parks. We also have the good work of Commissioner Fish to build on in ending the previous contracting out contract, which is enters into the issue of the current challenge in filling spots. But thank you very much for your testimony. Please read item 1022.
Request of Vicente Harrison to address council regarding park ranger recognition.
Good morning. Please state your name for the record, then you have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Vicente Harrison. As my fellow Rangers stand behind me, I'd like to say good morning to Mayor Hales in his absence, to our city commissioners, Amanda Fritz, Dan Saltzman, Steve Novick, and Nick Fish. My name is Vicente Harrison. I have served as a park ranger for over a year. I am a husband, father, and homeowner in the city of Portland. In March of this year, Park Rangers united to sign cards choosing to be represented by Local 483 and part of the DCTU contract. We had 4 full-time rangers and 11 seasonal workers at that time. Since then, we've had close to 100% turnover in staffing among seasonal rangers. As a result, the ranger program has had to spend money to train and outfit approximately 12 new rangers. Aside from the cost of constant retraining, high turnover lowers morale in our work group as we watch our partners run out of hours. The rotating door of seasonal employees is also a liability for the ranger program when it comes to safety. New rangers may not be ready for the variety of difficult situations that can arise on the job. Then there's the personal toll on seasonal rangers who are living on the edge, scrambling to pay bills and set little aside for when their hours inevitably run out. As a seasonal worker, I had to deal with the same stressful uncertainty trying to pay a mortgage and raise 2 children, daughter Harper Adele Grace and son Vicente II. Imagine coming home or coming into work one day and finding out it's your last day. That's what happened to Dustin Meyer and Curtis Berry without any notice. The Park Ranger program has lost many talented employees due to the current model of seasonal employment. Take Katie Gribben, for example. She was the 2012 recipient of the Director Award for Exceptional Work in Parks. Her work with the houseless community earned positive media attention for Portland Parks and Recreation and the Ranger program. She would have been a great asset to our bureau, but her hours ran out and she had to move on. We have one standing with us today, a former park ranger who also is here in support of the Rangers, Nate Hepp. He served the park rangers for 4 years, and he also had to move on when his hours ran out because of lack of opportunity. I was fortunate enough to be selected as a full-time ranger to work with a great team. Among the rangers, we have a human rights commissioner, a former policy advisor for Mayor Sam Adams, a former federal wilderness ranger, and a published author and editor, to name just a few. All of us, whether full-time or seasonal, confront the same challenges daily in our parks, dealing with controlled substance abusers, mental health issues, and gang activity, and we count on each other to do this work safely. With the expansion of duties performed by rangers, the need is growing for services, but the staffing levels are unstable. High turnover is a liability for the workforce and the community that depends on us. While it makes operational sense to have some seasonal rangers for the busy summer months, it does not make sense that the majority of rangers are seasonal workers. The majority of the work we do must be done year-round. By staggering seasonal workers instead of creating more permanent positions, these employees are denied the wages and benefits of full-time rangers working next to them. The park rangers look forward to working with our management team and Commissioner Fritz to address these concerns once we are recognized as a union and begin bargaining. We ask you again to reconsider recognizing us as a part of Local 483 so that we can fulfill the park's 2020 vision and leave a legacy for our children that is better than our inheritance. Thank you.
So thank you all for being here. This is another program that Commissioner Fish initiated, which, as Mr. Harrison said, was started with just 4 rangers and is now expanded to many more full-time employees. I appreciate your eloquence in making one of the arguments that, again, I'm going to be making to my colleagues in the budget.
Commissioner Fritz, can I also just observe?
Please.
We were, the City of Portland 23rd Annual Community Survey results were issued, I believe, yesterday. And they rate they asked, in this, the auditor asked the public to rate services. And I think that for all of our parks employees that are here today, we should also pause and acknowledge that the highest rated services in the city were Parks and Recreation Services at 86% favorability from the public. So I think we should give them a round of applause.
We're going to be hearing from some more of our wonderful parks employees. It is stunning how we have been able to provide such great services on such a shoestring budget, and I think that needs to change in the future. Item 1023, please.
Request of Terry Carvalho to address council regarding keep public services public in the city.
Yes, pass house for them.
Good morning. Please state your name for the record, and then you have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Council. My name is Terry Carvalho. I'm with the Department of Transportation.
Terry, bring the mic down just a little bit so we can hear you.
Is that a little better? Okay. Good morning, Council. My name is Terry Carvalho. I'm with the Department of Transportation Sewer Repair. I've been doing this type of work for about 10 years now. I believe we are the most efficient, cost-effective employees in a specialized line of work. We have a wealth of knowledge and decades of experience, and it's all passed on. Our knowledge is an installation and repair of our city main sewer lines. We do all of our training and cross-training hands-on in the field. This ensures employees understand the proper techniques and safety procedures. Vendors come to us many times asking us to try out their tools of the trade or equipment because they trust and value our knowledge and our expertise. We are provided top-notch equipment. Our equipment is maintained by the number one city fleet nationwide for 3 years in a row. Fortunately, I was only able to get one copy, but there's three of these out there. So our city fleet, they rock. They are the best. They're very understanding. We ask for a request for something to do, they're on it. They're great. It takes years and huge investments to build the arsenal of our specialized equipment that we have. Everything we need is at our fingertips or just a radio call away. We are truly envy of many contractors. Our planner scheduler in my department, Sewer Repair, is receiving more work orders than we have the capacity to handle. That's where contracting out comes into play. I would like to show you a couple of pictures of what we find out in the field. This one picture here is one of the worst things I've ever seen. Somebody just gabbed it together. They put rope in between. They filled it with some spray foam insulation. It's a horrible job. Roots got in there and plugged up our sewer line. So therefore, we were called to investigate, and we ended up digging it up. And this is the way it's supposed to look. As you can see, there's quite a difference. The integrity of the lines were quite different. Okay, where was I? We're called into the field to fix contractors' mistakes, and they should have been done right the first time by dedicated city employees. The bottom line of a contractor is to make profit and to pay their employees lower wages and benefits. Whereas we want to do the job right the first time, keep the integrity and reliability of our sewer lines. Repairs like this have and could be resulting in risk management claims. So my question is to you, what is better for ratepayers, to have the job done right the first time, do it again the second time? Do you want the job to last? Do you want to cut corners? So then why would the city be interested in underwriting our contract language that protects us from contractors? Isn't it cheaper to have in-house? We do better work. We're more efficient. If we were to increase our staffing, just think of the money we could save just having us do it. We have everything in our arsenal. We have the technology. We have everything we need. I believe we can save a lot of money just working in-house. If we're going to use contractors, we need to be a little bit more selective on who we use and hold them accountable longer than 2 years. Our problems don't show up until after 2 years. Usually it's a five-year span. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Please read item 1024.
Request of Jonathan Gibson and Mary Protzman to address council regarding why the DCTU employees and their union are critical to this city and its services.
Good morning. You have 3 minutes between you, and please state your names for the record.
Hello. My name is Jonathan Gibson, and I come here today to testify as not a city employee, but as a longtime member of the city. I was born here in Northwest Portland. I was raised and lived here. I went to college here at Portland State University, and now I both work and live here. I also know that none of this would be possible without the support of the city workers making the city run. For example, I know that when a water main breaks, there'll be someone there to fix it. I know that when I go to a Timbers game, I'm safe because of the Portland police. I know that without clean parks, the festivals that this city holds so dear would not happen. And I know that if I ever need to start a business or get a permit, I can go to the city and get it in a timely manner. I understand that the budgeting process is a thankless and tiring job, but I also know that we get what we pay for. Portland is blessed with a wonderful and amazing workforce that keeps this city running on a shoestring budget. But I, as well as the recent report by the auditor's office, shows that we're concerned that that may be coming under jeopardy. I value this city, I know you value this city, and we can show that value by supporting its workers and investing in its services.
My name is Mary Protzman. I'm a non-sworn employee of the Portland Police Bureau, active steward and trustee of AFSCME Local 189. The City of Portland is a good employer, but it has proven throughout the DCTU contract negotiations to be a lousy partner. AFSCME Local 189 elected new leadership this past winter, and in our strategic planning session, two of our five goals included reestablishing good working relations with BHR and the apparently unobtainable goal of providing better services to more of the city with more efficiency through labor and management working together as collaborative partners. I live, play, and work in this city, and as a frontline unionized worker, I am part of a massive effort to provide the services that make this place so livable. Stop lowering our standards of service. A new community survey out of our auditor's office shows an overall decline in satisfaction of city services. Doing more with less stops working after a while, and asking frontline workers to sacrifice time and time again, doing more with less and less, is compromising the investment in Portland's future. I'm supposed to have a living wage job working for the city, but it's getting harder to afford to even live here. I have postponed starting a family of my own because I cannot afford that either. This is not an ask for money. This is about city management wasting everyone's time with petty stall tactics that result in a real small financial savings. This is about the rights of middle-class workers to bargain collectively and progressively to make our entire community stronger. As elected officials, you have the power to stop management's dawdling at the table, stop trying to bust city unions, and stop trying to balance our financial shortfalls on the backs of the labor trying to keep this city clean, safe, prosperous, and awesome. If the council is concerned about the bottom line of the city, then the council should be concerned about the bottom line of our people.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your testimony. Please read item 1025.
Request of Mary Ann Schwab to address council regarding arts in the schools tax.
Is Mary Ann here? Oh, nope. Well, if she comes in later, we can ask her to participate. Commissioner Novick left. So he's here still?
No, he walked out. So
we can't do consent yet. So we'll defer doing consent until after the time certain. Please read item 1026.
Accept the 2013 North Portland Greenway Trail Alignment Plan, East Bank Esplanade to Kelly Point Park, as a guide for future development of the Greenway Trail.
Thank you. This is my item as the commissioner in charge of parks. It's Today is an opportunity for the City Council to continue to express our support for the funding and construction of the North Portland Greenway Trail. In 1904, as part of the long-term planning for Portland Park System, the Olmsted brothers proposed the 40-mile loop trail. And we have been plugging away and getting that trail built over time. Today, we consider the next step in the completion of the loop with the North Portland Greenway Trail Alignment Plan. This plan refines the 2010 City of Portland River Plan North Reach Greenway Trail Alignment that was developed with the community to provide continuous pedestrian and bicycle access from Kelly Point Park to the East Bank Esplanade, including river views. The emphasis of the planning effort we're discussing today is to complete conceptual or 10% engineering that will allow the city and the community to seek funds for completing this section of the 40-mile loop trail. The North Portland Greenway Trail Alignment Plan identifies challenges and opportunities for the river plan alignment and maps interim alignments until land easements or property acquisitions are obtained. So in some cases, there are options, so that we're not actually accepting a definitive plan today in terms of choosing one over the other. We're outlining what those options are. And we're also staying true to the river plan, with approximately 90% of the alignments in this plan can be constructed as shown and agreed on by the community and City Council. The North Portland Greenway Trail Alignment Plan reflects the hard work of the community through the Project Advisory Committee, Portland Parks and Recreation, Portland Bureau of Transportation, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Bureau of Environmental Services, and Metro. And I thank and give special recognition to Commissioner Fish for his leadership of this project prior to my ripping parks from his clutches. Actually, the mayor doing so, but definitely this is following on from his great stewardship over the previous 4 years. I also thank the Project Advisory Committee, and we will hear from a few today. Mike Abate, the director of Portland Parks and Recreation, will now introduce the project.
Thank you, Commissioner, and members of council. As Commissioner Fritz mentioned, I think it's important to capture what the vision for the North Portland Greenway is, and that is to be able to connect all the way from the East Bank Esplanade up to Kelly Point Park, a tremendously important park at the confluence of the Willamette and Columbia River. And Portlanders for generations have wanted to be able to walk, bike, stroll that route to connect those two dots. But as you know, trail projects are extremely complex, difficult to implement, and take many, many years. In fact, one of our greatest successes, the Springwater Trail, we're still working out some of the details after 20 years of work. So these projects are require long-term vision and long-term perseverance. As the Commissioner mentioned, this was the process itself internally was a cooperative led by Portland Parks and Recreation, but with our friends at the Bureau of Transportation, Planning and Sustainability, Environmental Services, and Metro. I thank all of those agencies for the very collaborative work. But beyond the public agencies, the greater public has weighed in as well. NP Greenway, the bicycle and pedestrian communities, industry, and many North Portland neighborhood associations have supported the efforts to secure funding from the Oregon Department of Transportation. And they continue to work with us through this planning effort, giving input at 6 Project Advisory Committee meetings, 3 well-attended open house events, and a long-term public comment period where we received nearly 300 comments. This is, as the Commissioner mentioned, really 90% of what was reviewed in the river plan is solidified in this plan. This is 10% engineering. There are many details to be worked out. And to kind of go over the project in some detail, I'd like to introduce Emily Roth, Senior Planner and Project Manager for Parks on this.
Good morning, Council.
Just slide that down, Mike, the whole thing.
How's that? Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Emily Roth, and I'm the Senior Planner for Portland Parks and Rec and the Project Manager for the North Portland Greenway Trail Alignment Plan. As you've heard before, the alignment is going to go from Kelly Point Park to the East Side Esplanade. It is a bicycling and pedestrian trail that is approximately 10.5 miles. The alignment to the Broadway Bridge was developed through the River Plan North Reach, which was presented to City Council in 2010. And it follows along the river with many viewpoints, and it is mainly off-street. The river plan alignment is supported by the community and the city. And though what you'll see today deviates a little bit from it, I want to stress that we are striving to build the Greenway, the North Portland Greenway Trail, as shown in the River Plan alignment. As everybody has said before me, this planning process couldn't have been done alone. I was joined by staff from the Portland Bureau of Transportation, Environmental Services, Planning and Sustainability, and our partners at Metro. So this is a map, and I've put a copy of the map in front of you so that you can see where it goes. On this map, the orange line reflects the River Plan alignment, and the green line is the North Reach near-term buildable trail alignment. And as said before, approximately 90% follows the alignment. So I'm going to now spend just a couple of minutes of going through the details for this alignment. First, segment one. This completely follows the River Plan North Reach. It is 2.1 miles off street and all on public land. This goes from Kelly Point Park through the St. John's Landfill, which is now, called the St. John's Meadow, and to Columbia Boulevard. This part, if you imagine this on your bicycle, this is all through public land. You would start and learn about Lewis and Clark. You would be able to follow the trail along the North Slough, over the slough, and onto the St. John Meadow, the first time having public access to the meadow, with wonderful views of Smith and Bybee Lakes and three mountain peaks when I was out there the other day. Beautiful spot that will now be open to the public. And then you will travel along and come to Columbia Boulevard. I'm very happy to say that we have received word that we will receive a 2016 ODOT Active Transportation Grant to build a pedestrian bicycle bridge over Columbia Boulevard, grade separated. We put this grant together with our partners at Metro and worked very hard with the freight community to ensure that there would be both safety for pedestrians and bicyclists and that freight would continue to move through the freight corridor on Columbia Boulevard. The second part of the trail segment goes from Columbia Boulevard all the way down to, to Cathedral Park. This is 2.1 miles on street, and most of it is in with public lands. So, first of all, just some accomplishments. We are completing the bridge between Chimney and Pier Park now. This is another great step to allow people to go through from Pier to Chimney. We are just finishing the construction of the ADA accessible trail in Pier Park to get to the bridge. We are continuing to work with Metro to secure easements at Crown, Cork, and Seal, which is this area right in here. And until then, the alignment will follow the bicycle route as shown in the Bicycle Master Plan along Reno. And we are continuing to work with PBOT on the alignment of North Decatur. This is a freight route in the industrial area adjacent to Cathedral Park. So up here on the map, this is Decatur, right here. This is a key component, and we want to find a solution for bicycles and pedestrians in this area to travel safely, to preserve large trees, and to find an alternative route for trucks or to have a way to share the road. I just wanted to point out with segment one and two, when they are completed, you will be able to go from Kelly Point Park all the way through Pier Park on public land safely. Be a great opportunity both for active transportation and for to enjoy nature in North Portland.
Emily, we should probably also just acknowledge that there's a couple years ago we did a update of the master plan for Cathedral Park. So we have a plan that needs to be funded for really a complete makeover of that park based on a community vision. So that is also in the offing.
Thank you. Segment three. This runs from Cathedral Park to Wad Bluff. It is 2.7 miles. It is all off street, on public and private property, and this follows completely the River Plan. There are a few things to know about segment three. First of all, as we see here, it goes through Lampros Steel. It starts at the BES water control facility, and it comes through Lampros Steel, which is a private property. At Lampros Steel, we have recently had a conversation with the developer who's looking to redevelop this area in the industrial land. He's very interested in putting the trail in on the property, how it would work best, and what is the stormwater facility. It then travels across to Willamette Cove. And from Willamette Cove, which is owned by from Metro, it's part of the Superfund cleanup site. And so we have the trail sited through Willamette Cove, and Metro is working with the port to clean up Willamette Cove so that the trail can go. We have already sited the trail through a different trail planning process through Willamette Cove. From there, it goes to the University of Portland's new river campus, which they have recently come in for a conditional use master plan. When the river campus is developed, they will be building the trail. Again, another piece. The trail goes around Wad Bluff, which is owned by the railroad. And as you will hear from the constituents here, we still need to do a lot of work with the railroad to get the trail here. It's a key piece in the plan to allow great river views and connections both to Swan Island and to our recently completed Wad Bluff. And here's looking down on the trail. Here's Wad Bluff and the University of Portland campus, and this is how the trail would go here and then come across and go over to Cathedral Park. Trail segment four runs from Swan Island to Albina Yard. This is 1.9 miles through the industrial area. Much of the trail here is in the right-of-way and along the river in several locations. This is where we start to get into the more controversial part of the plan. So as you can see here, there are two routes identified in the river plan. There is the route here along Willamette Bluff down to Greeley, and there is the route that goes through Swan Island along Basin Road and comes up right now, our plan, on going to the river to connect with Greeley. There's also a trail that is built here in the orange, shown in the river plan. This will go in front of the new Daimler headquarters, and then over here to segment five. Part of the trail is built there. Both routes are shown in the river plan. We looked at Swan Island possibilities, this industrial area where there is a large demand for safe connections from all directions from industrial users. We've looked for a cycle track and a sidewalk along Basin Avenue. This would require building Basin Avenue to move utilities, rebuilding Basin Avenue to move utilities and trees. It's very important here to have a connection along the Willamette River, to keep the connection along the Willamette River. And we are happy to say that Daimler Corporation is looking to build the Greenway Trail and nice overviews along the river when they redevelop in this area. Right now, we show a connection to North Greeley along the recently completed Going to River project that PBOT completed to have safe access to Swan Island. And we need to strive to improve the connection at Wad Bluff to make this ADA accessible on the new trail that we built, so that people can go from the basin up to Wad Bluff of all abilities. So this is a great view from the river, and this is a cross-section down here of what we envision basin to look like, where we would have traffic, we'd have a tree, we would have a cycle track for cyclists, and then sidewalk pedestrians, all safe modes. Our final portion of the North Portland Greenway Trail, segment five, takes us from Swan Island to the East Bank Esplanade. It is 2.7 miles. It is in right-of-way and bike lanes and on sidewalks. And here is where we have the most controversy. So I will talk a little bit about our opportunities and our challenges here. This is Albina Yard, owned by the Union Pacific Railroad. It is a very desirable to go from Swan Island here across what is now called the Cement Road, the River Road, connect to Interstate, go go to the Broadway Bridge, a fantastic ride close to the river. We do not have permission from the railroad to build on the cement road in the Albina Yard. For this plan, we have a 10% buildable design that goes from North Going Street on Greeley, off street on Greeley, to connect back into Interstate for cyclists to the Broadway Bridge, and for pedestrians to go on Larrabee across the Broadway Bridge and then walk into the city. There are many challenges here. The river plan shows both alignments on North Greeley and through the Albina Yard adjacent to the river. The community strongly prefers the Albina Yard as to be close to the river and to enjoy the views. We'd like to thank the mayor's office, who started discussions with Union Pacific Railroad about access through the yard, and we continue to work with PBOT to site an alignment that ties in at both ends of this trail. The railroad has stated that at this time the trail cannot go along the cement road. We are continuing to work on refining the alignment from the Broadway Bridge to the Steel Bridge as part of the River Plan Central Reach and the Comprehensive Plan Update, to take it out of the rail alignment and to put it onto public right-of-way and possibly other property which will build the trail.
So there's two options there, and my understanding from the mayor's office is that he is willing to continue to work with Union Pacific, and of course Commissioner Novick and I will also continue to work on that, because clearly that's what the community prefers.
Thank you. And I would just like to acknowledge everybody that has made this planning possible. First and foremost, our project advisory committee, which many are here in the audience and you will hear from today. We had funding through the Oregon Department of Transportation, City of Portland staff that helped make this and give comments and improvement, Metro, Jane Hart, their senior planner, and our consultant team, who was represented here by Adrian Esteban of David Evans and Associates. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for Mike or Emily?
I'm going to hold my questions because I know we have a lot of people, including elected official, that want to speak.
Right. Thank you very much. So now we're going to hear from members of the Project Advisory Committee, and then we'll have Metro Councilor Sam Chase after that. So if our speakers from the Project Advisory Committee could please come up. Fran C. Royce, who is a longtime advocate for the North Portland Greenway Trail, took me on a tour of it within, I think, a few weeks of being elected to the council. Also, Jim Barnes, representing both Friends of Baltimore Woods and the Cathedral Park Neighborhood Association, and Thad Collins from the United Parcel Service on Swan Island. Welcome, thank you for being here, and thank you for all of your work on this project.
Thank you. My name is Francie Royce, and I'm also co-chair of NP Greenway, and we're the advocacy group that I think you all heard of, advocating for the North Portland Greenway Trail. And I just want to start off by giving my appreciation to the hard work of the Portland Parks and Recreation staff, Emily Roth, that has worked very hard on this plan. In general, NP Greenway supports the alignment, and the plan generally matches the line of our vision map that we've developed a number of years ago. We're delighted that the Portland Parks and Recreation staff have already worked with Metro, as Emily said, to secure the funding to build the trail across Columbia Boulevard. That's a significant advantage for the trail, to make it safe for families and people to use. And also through the trail through Pier Park and the bridge across the railroad, linking Chimney Park and Pier Park. We do have some concerns, however, that are addressed in a letter that we've submitted, and it's detailed. I'm not going to go into all of that, although I would like to emphasize our most serious concerns, as Emily said, is in segment 5. Cement Road is our preferred route south of Swan Island. It's flat, it's near the river, and it's in direction between points north and south. North Greeley is not an acceptable route for the North Portland Greenway Trail, even at a grade-separated trail. It's a truck route It's noisy. There's vehicle fumes. It's out of direction, and it requires a steep grade up North Going Street across the bridge to connect to Greeley. We do understand and appreciate those conversations that are occurring between the city and Union Pacific Railroad, but any alternative that may develop out of that conversation to either Cement Road or to Greeley within Albina Yards, we'll wait to see what if there's anything to propose and what the railroad might do to make that alternative happen. I just want to briefly hit the Larrabee overpass, that we do want to see the trail in the Larrabee overpass. It's an ideal location for the trail. So in the bottom line is that we request that North Greeley be removed from the plan. It's not an option. And we definitely support the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jim Barnes. I'm a board member of the Friends of Baltimore Woods. I want to thank the council and for, you know, the opportunity to speak here today. And I also wanted to second what Francie said about the parks staff working on the project advisory committee. They really went a step beyond to, make sure that various communities were heard. I was also fortunate to be on the original River Plan North Reach Trail Alignment Committee, if that's the name of it. And at that time, we were able to put the alignment for the trail onto North Decatur, which is an unimproved street that runs behind warehouses in the Cathedral Park neighborhood. Decatur offers a really unique opportunity on this section of the trail. It runs along the base of the hill that is Baltimore Woods, and Baltimore Woods runs about a quarter mile along Decatur. This is property that's been now purchased by Metro and by the city. And then the trail continues on north through some other large properties, about 10 acres that have been purchased by Metro and the city, and these are now being converted into meadow. Decatur offers an opportunity to have an off-street trail in a neighborhood where there's not many opportunities to do that. And we would like to see transportation and parks work to make improvements to Bradford, which is the main truck route along the railroad. But other than that, I'd like to encourage the council to make the trail a priority. I'm not as patient as Francie. I remember when I first met her, one of the things she said was that she wanted to see the trail built in her lifetime. And I thought she was joking. I'm not that patient, so thank you.
For your work on the project.
Thad Collins, also a member of the advisory committee from United Parcel Service. Had an interesting opportunity this morning coming in on the Highway 26 Sunset parking lot from Beaverton, and I was passed by somebody that had a nice smile on his face, wind blowing in his hair, enjoying life on the way to do some business in Portland. Wasn't driving a convertible was driving a Schwinn, and he was on the shoulder. I think the thought of that kind of scares us a little bit. And the idea of bikes in road.